Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's Highs and Lows in Wrestling here on the unofficial WWE podcast. Today is June 5th, 2021. My name is Mimi Burris, and we're back.
Hardy with a powerful right hand knocking Sammy Guevara through the stage.
I want a divorce. Oh!
I told you, I was gonna ruin yours!
I feed a whole family with this title!
All right, you guys, like I said, we are back and better than ever here on the highs and lows on the WWE podcast. It's good to be back. It's good to be talking about wrestling with you guys again, for the most part. Not so excited to talk about some of the stuff that we're going to talk about today. Little hint as to probably what's going to be the low for the week here. But for the first time ever here on the Highs and Lows podcast, we have a live studio audience of two. One, my fiance's here. Taylor, how you doing? All right, she's being shy. She doesn't want to wave, but I promise, guys, she's real. And my dog is here, too. And he did not, or he was intrigued by the little squeaky noise that we already put here at the beginning of the show. So from that means no more cursing on my part. And yeah, all right, let's stop talking about all this. Let's just get into wrestling, because that's why you guys are here in the first place. And we're going to start with our low for the week. Before we get into, again, per usual, the official low, there are a few things I do want to mention. First and foremost, guys, I say it every single time. Thank you for choosing this show. Thank you for choosing the WWE podcast. Always really appreciate it. And if you like this show and you hate advertisements, because I hate advertisements, you can pay $1 a month to get all of these shows on the WWE podcast feed, including Rivalries, the Raw Review, SmackDown Review, NXT, AEW, the Week in Review, all the good stuff that goes on, Mailbag, with no ads. Not a single flipping ad. And then as well as that, you get some exclusive shows, like we'll talk about. Just some random stuff I'll go on there and talk about. Hopefully the next one will be something to do with Andrade in AEW. That's really exciting. A lot of fantasy booking that we could talk about there. As well as Wrestling Nostalgia now is an exclusive WWE podcast Patreon exclusive thing. You get what I'm trying to say. And if you subscribe to the Raw tier, Matt and Anthony DeMarco do a show called What Ifs, where they talk about, you know, what if CM Punk returned to wrestling, or what if Stone Cold never got injured, or what if The Rock never went to Hollywood? All fun, cool, hypothetical things that, who knows? You know, I guess some of them wouldn't come true, but the CM Punk thing, guys, never say never in wrestling. So that's the Raw tier. Nevertheless, a lot of awesome stuff going on Patreon. So if you're not subscribed on Patreon, what are you doing? Cancel your Spotify subscription. Go pay $1 a month for this stuff, because it is just off the charts. A lot of stuff going on Patreon. Okay, moving on, guys. Moving on from the plug. Let's talk about the low for the week. Obviously, there was a lot to discuss in this category this week, but mostly specifically and exclusively to Raw, which is good news for us, because that means most of the other wrestling this week was pretty good. I mean, I just actually uploaded, I think, my AEW review show, so you guys can hear my thoughts on the full show there. But I really did not like AEW this week as a whole. I thought it was pretty ho-hum, botchy, not great. A lot of stuff felt very clunky. So if you want to hear my full thoughts on that, you can go check that out here on the same feed. But back to Raw, that whole first segment, I don't know. I there were some great lines in there, though, by Rhea Ripley. I mean, she, you know, Charlotte Flair said that she was going to take Rhea Ripley to hell, and Rhea Ripley comes out and said, "Ah, Charlotte, you're going to take me to hell? Well, you can go to hell." Get it, Rhea Ripley. Just killer character development going on with her. I mean, the stuff, guys, is must-see in this Raw women's division. I mean, they got the tag team championship just heating up, and Nikki Cross escaped Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley both back-to-back weeks in 2 minutes. So, I mean, future contender, guys? I don't know. It's looking really good on Raw right now. And you know, Randy Orton versus Xavier Woods was not nearly as good as last week's. If anything, actually, that would have probably taken my high for the week last week, was Xavier Woods and Matt Riddle had no right to be as good of a match as it was. But I've been, you know, screaming Xavier Woods' praises from the rooftops for a while now. I think he's super talented. Yeah, guys, Shayna Baszler lost to Reginald this week. And that would have probably been the low for the week, as well as the future match that's coming up with Shayna Baszler versus Dahl. But I don't think my mental health can deal with talking about that for more than a couple seconds. So, yeah, 50-50 booking in the U.S. Championship picture. Your amazing women's tag team matches that, you know, one-fourth of that match is no longer employed in the company, so... I'm pretty sure they just copied and pasted the Cedric Alexander Shelton Benjamin match from last week. I really don't think that was new. I really think they just went last week, cut and pasted that in. Elias turned on Jackson Ryker for absolutely no reason. And Drew McIntyre and Kofi Kingston had a banger of a main event. Again, for what? For what? They did the exact same match the week before. It is beyond analysis at this point, guys. It is beyond analysis. And I can't believe I gave it this much time on my show. But, yeah, for the most part, in, like, the low category of what we're talking about, everything else, I mean, this week was... It doesn't deserve to be trashed as much as I want to trash Monday Night Raw. You know, there was a lot of really good stuff going on in NXT. And SmackDown was pretty great for the most part, too, despite the fact that they put the same match on the show twice. But I get why they did that. Oh, here's what I wanted to talk about. Carmella versus Liv Morgan. So, they fire her best friend from the company. They fire both her best friends in the company back-to-back years, right? And then they're like, okay, so maybe out of all this, like, it's not great, but maybe Liv Morgan gets a push, right? That seems like a nice thing to do for somebody who's talented as all hell. She's got a huge fan base online. And, you know, you fired both of her best friends. But no, what do they do instead? They have Carmella go over on Liv Morgan. So pointless kind of match there, considering Carmella lost the week before. So we're 50-50 now. Good, because that's different. And the whole match was who's more beautiful, which blonde is better looking than the other blonde. If you guys want to hear my whole thoughts on all of this terrible women's division crap, there was a podcast I uploaded on Patreon. You might have to search a little bit down there, but it is on there. Patreon exclusive podcast about why I believe the women's division is now officially like the Divas division again. And here's a perfect example of that. I was listening to another show earlier, and essentially they were making the comparison that I was thinking about the same exact thing. Could you imagine if you took two of the male wrestlers, you know what I'm trying to say, two male wrestlers on the WWE product, any show, any NXT, SmackDown, I don't care, just two big beefy dudes, right? And you took them and you said one was fighting the other one because they were debating as to which was the more good-looking wrestler, which was the better-looking guy. You would never imagine that in a million years unless you're talking about Pretty Peter Avalon and AEW, but that's a different story because that man is just handsome as all hell. So, yeah, that was awful. Awful stuff. Bayley hacked into the Thunderdome somehow. Yeah, that's about all I have to say in a bad light. There we go. See, this is why it's nice to have a live audience. In a bad light, in regards to SmackDown, again, like I said, if you want to hear my full thoughts on AEW, you can go check out that show. But the one thing I will mention is that this faction versus faction, Inner Circle versus Pinnacle thing going on should be the greatest thing on the show right now, and they have done a terrible job with it. And, guys, you know, we had Double or Nothing, and for the most part, besides the Cody Rhodes-Anthony Agogo match, again, but this stuff isn't just, like, in-your-face bad. It's kind of like you have to care a little bit more to notice that it's bad. I feel like I lose brain cells every time I watch Monday Night Raw. I have no investment. And I think the reason some of this stuff on AEW, Double or Nothing, and Dynamite this week was, quote unquote, you know, not great, is because of my emotional investment in it. On the surface, it wasn't bad, like you'd watch a Monday Night Raw and see Nikki Cross running around the ring and avoiding Charlotte and then celebrating a victory. Apparently, it's a victory in the Beat the Clock Challenge, like she just won the world title. So, I don't know if any of that makes sense, but let's get into our official low for the week, and then we're going to obviously talk about our high. In between, we'll get to an email or two, and then we have a random match recommendation. I hope you guys managed last week without your random match recommendation. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, guys. As you said, as I said before, I told you I had my second eye procedure, but we're done with that for now. Only one more thing to go, and it's not in my third eye, don't worry, but only one more little thing to go, and that's not for a while, so... All right, let's get into our official low for the week, guys. And you probably guessed it at this point. I'm choosing the releases of some major talent this week as our official low for the week. And I want to preface all this with it is not okay and not good and not happy when any wrestler or any employee of any company loses their job. No matter whether you're Santana Garrett or Braun Strowman, it doesn't matter. Obviously, some of them affect us as fans a little bit more because we're a little bit more emotionally invested in some of these guys than others. But it doesn't matter. It's still someone losing their job, and I want to make that very clear. So I think I've had a low for the week B releases before too. Maybe it was when Samoa Joe and everybody got released, the Iconics and all that stuff. But this is worthy of its own podcast by itself. And if you guys want to hear more thoughts on this, obviously I'm going to be on the Week in Review with Matt tomorrow, so check that out, and I'm sure we'll be covering plenty about all of this. But for those of you that don't know, the wrestlers that got released this past week were Braun Strowman, Aleister Black, Lana, Murphy, Ruby Riott, and Santana Garrett. So I guess I don't know how to best approach this, but let's break this down, maybe by wrestler. And like I said, it doesn't matter how big the name is. You never want to see anybody lose their job. Braun Strowman, guys, you guys have heard me on this podcast. I think Braun Strowman has a record for the most lows of the week on this show. I think he takes that trophy with those olive green shirts and all of that Shane McMahon choo-choo train Nickelodeon slime crap that he did before WrestleMania. He might be the winner of the most lows for the week, that or the women's tag division as a whole. But with all that being said, guys, you've heard me say I'd rather watch paint dry than a Braun Strowman promo and or match. I have no interest. But that's kind of a subjective take. I mean, a lot of people seem to really like Braun Strowman, and he's got a lot to offer. Not to mention, he is a WWE homegrown talent. You know, he wasn't an indies guy, anything like that. He wasn't like a professional wrestler. He was like WWE's professional wrestler. He was a WWE superstar, not a professional wrestler, if that makes any sense. The one thing that I will say, guys, is at least he got to go out on a high. No pun intended. But really, I mean, that triple threat match at WrestleMania Backlash, I still feel stupid every time I say that name. That triple threat at Backlash was a really great, fun, you know, cocaine thrill match of just spotting, but it didn't feel forced. It was a great match, entertainment-wise at least. And if that was his last match, that was great. The one thing that was kind of weird, I don't know if anybody else remembers this, but last week, he did a little promo about, like, you know, WWE's going back live on the road, so, you know, make sure you come check us out and watch people get these hands. And I'm not even going to try to do the Braun Strowman voice right now, guys, because my vocal cords can't take it. But, so they must have not had this in the works, necessarily. This seems like a last-minute thing, because why would you advertise Braun Strowman on your live tour and then release him the next week? In that same vein, guys, Aleister Black... they had no real plan, apparently, is what's being reported for that whole Big E Aleister Black thing. They won't make any mention of it, so that was just more wasted time out of my life and yours and their life. If you think about, I'm going to go on a total side tangent here, but so these wrestlers, like, risk their lives every night they go out in the ring, right? It sounds a little intense, but it's the case. They put their bodies on the line for our entertainment, and I will never pretend to know what that's like. Obviously, we critique things on this show, but I try to do it in my best and good faith. Like, I will never know what it's like to take a bump. I will never pretend to know what it's like to take a bump. The closest I can get to knowing what it's like to take a bump is when I fall and I'm riding my Heelys. That's the only experience that I have, I guess, in that territory. But so I'll never really know. So these guys go out there and put their bodies on the line, right? And so could you imagine what it must feel like to do that? Let alone all the thought you go or give into, like someone like an Aleister Black gave to his creative, and he tried pitching thing after thing after thing and doing his own stuff on social media and whatever else, right? And then it's just scrapped. It's just scrapped or pretended like it never happened, or it's literally just content for content's sake to fill time so we can put in another ad break and Progressive's match flow. I would not work for a company that treated my body, right? Because that's what I'm putting on the line every time, like that. Just would not be for me. So Aleister Black, I think, being released is actually a blessing in disguise for the guy. I think he's going to go on and do great things. It sounds like Braun Strowman is kind of a WWE loyalist, so I have a feeling we'll see him back in a couple years in WWE when Vince McMahon decides that, you know, he wakes up on one side of the bed and decides that, oh, I want that big Braun Strowman guy back. Maybe he'll go host some weird TV show that probably won't last long. I don't know. Who knows? I'm sure he'll be fine, though. Acting, he doesn't seem like he's actually a bad actor. I'll give him that. The stuff that he has to spew every week, you know, he does a good job of doing it. So I could see him doing kind of like a... You could pretty much get a part in a movie just based on the fact that he's a giant dude. So I think he'll be okay. Aleister Black, we all know, is one of the most talented wrestlers in the world. I have a feeling we'll end up in New Japan. That would be exciting. They need, apparently, a boost. I'm not a big New Japan watcher, but I do know that as of late in pandemic era, the company has kind of gone in the toilet creative-wise, and so they could use an Aleister Black for sure. And we're moving on over to Lana, I guess, guys, and I want to give the same thoughts that I had about Braun Strowman for Lana. Not the same exact, but you guys know my thoughts on Lana. I mean, Lana can't wrestle. She can't wrestle. But wow, wasn't she good when she was a valet for Rusev? She had a tantalizing presence. She demanded your attention, and not just if you're a straight man not just if you like women. Let me put it that way. She demanded your attention, and she was really good at getting heat. So what does WWE do? Decides, okay, that's not what you're going to do anymore. We're going to put you in a place where you're going to wrestle and you're not going to be very good at it. And then when you fail at that, we're going to release you because you suck. That goes for a lot of these people. Buddy Murphy, guys, is actually one of my favorite wrestlers in the world, believe it or not. Weird, best kept secret, all right? That is my best kept secret, is I love Buddy Murphy. I think he's really incredible. You know, there were Kenny Omega comparisons going around. I expect him to end up in New Japan as well, but where would I most likely like to see him? You know, for subjectively and for my own selfish sake, I want to see him in AEW. But I also want to see him in a company that wrestles more of the style that he wrestles, to see if really if he's really that good. You know, these Cedric Alexanders and Buddy Murphys, like, are super talented, but they're super talented under the WWE realm, because not a lot of other guys wrestle like they do. By the way, I don't know if you guys heard, too. Apparently, the reason for release for Aleister Black and Buddy Murphy was Vince McMahon did not get their wrestling style. He just didn't get it. He didn't get their wrestling style. So he doesn't understand good wrestling. That makes a lot of sense. Okay. I'd love to see him in AEW. I hope he lands on his feet as well. And at the very least, you know, he's going to make waves around the indie scene once that picks back up, because believe it or not, guys, we're still in a pandemic. So here's your, you know, here's a company still releasing tons and tons of talent in a pandemic so they can have better stocks for their shareholders and all money, and basically so they can make $1,004,000,000 instead of $1 billion. Ruby Riott will be best served in AEW, in my opinion. I think she could do really well in Impact as well. But I think Impact's women's division arguably is better than AEW's. Again, I can say that with not a lot of confidence because I don't watch Impact a lot, at least, or I don't know a lot about Impact. But hopefully she picks up Heidi Lovelace again. That was super successful for her, apparently, if she's still able to have the rights to that name. Or whatever she does, guys, I'm excited to see Ruby Riott not under the WWE umbrella, because turns out she sucked under the WWE umbrella because she was made to suck. And we'll get into that, obviously, once we cover everybody, because I do want to talk about that. And then Santana Garrett, guys, I didn't even know who Santana Garrett was. You know why? Because I got very little coverage and I'm bad with names, but, you know, was briefly on NXT, was supposed to be called up to the main roster, and then things just never happened. They forgot about her, essentially. You know, when you're that rich, you can just forget about people, I guess, is the logic here. So with all these releases, guys, obviously, you know, you never want to see anybody lose their job, like I said, but I do think a lot of these people will land on their feet. You know, Lana was making like crap ton of money before their whole third party ban thing with the Twitch and all that other stuff. So hopefully she gets to still make those deals. She's a beautiful woman, turns out, you know, with a big social media following. I guarantee you guys, she makes more money in the next year than she ever did working for WWE. But it's sad, because apparently she seemed to really try hard with this wrestling thing, and she liked it, and she wanted to be better at it. And I think, guys, it's just not for everybody. But Lana's the perfect example of this, but with all of these wrestlers, right, this is what they do to them on a general level, right? The creative takes these guys and either in gals and either gives them an idea or gives them a storyline or gives them nothing or takes them out of what works for them or makes them a different character. Keith Lee, for example, right, takes them from what worked in NXT, brings them up to the main roster and tries to change them. Lana takes her out of the great role she was in with Rusev and tries to change that. Buddy Murphy makes him date someone who almost is underage, is like, you know, half his age, and does a weird storyline and then has him kind of go back to Seth Rollins, but not go back to Seth Rollins. Ruby Riott just never got the credit she deserved or the airtime or anything. If you go back, guys, like I'm talking Ronda Rousey era, Ruby Riott had some bangers. Or let's go watch the Evolution pay-per-view. Maybe I'm giving a spoiler to my random match recommendation of the week, but the Evolution pay-per-view, that all women's pay-per-view, that was probably the best pay-per-view of the year. Ruby Riott was in a 6-woman's tag with the Riott Squad, and I think it was Bayley, Natalia, and someone else, and I'm blanking. If it was Tamina, I'm going to hate myself. But she was an incredibly talented wrestler, gave no opportunity to show that. And Braun Strowman, they gave him choo-choo noises. Like, I don't know what else to say about that. So my point being is they give crap creative to all these people, expect them to get it over, and then whatever they do get over, they take away from them and give them something else, and then say, oh, you suck now. The Iconics, I don't get the, you know, Vince or whoever didn't get the Iconics. Creative didn't get the Iconics. Kevin Dunn didn't get the Iconics. Well, maybe because they were really good, and then you split them up for no reason. Like, WWE has its own self-fulfilling prophecy. It's almost like they want a reason to release talent. Which, you know, guys, the roster's getting thinner. Again, obviously, they still have tons of wrestlers, but how many credible wrestlers? Here's my question for you guys. Who challenges Bianca Belair next for the championship once Bayley is over, besides Sasha Banks? It's Carmella and Liv Morgan. And then you got Natalya and Tamina are technically on SmackDown, but they're the Raw Women's Tag Team, they're the Women's Tag Team Champions. So doesn't really, they have to go through all brands. So essentially you've got Carmella and Lacey Evans. There are 7 women on the SmackDown's roster. What the hell are you supposed to do with that? And how are you going to argue with me that the Divas division isn't a thing again? So I could go on and on about all these releases and how disgusting it is and the fact that we're still in a pandemic and you're releasing talent and when there's no indie scene, like these bad words that I'm not going to say of people who gather all this talent, give them these contracts and then release them when they can't get work anywhere else or it's a lot harder to get work anywhere else. Self-centered, narcissistic, awful human beings that run this company. That's all I'm going to say. And we're going to move on because otherwise I'm going to blow a gasket. I sound like I'm 50, don't I? Blow a gasket. All right. Let's go on over, guys. Before we get to the high of the week, I did get a couple emails from you guys in the past couple weeks. Just, I think I'll just get two. And I do want to get read those because I got one that I thought was hilarious and I would love for you all to hear too. And just some exciting stuff to talk about. So first email, guys, from Aiden, who says, "Hey, Mimi, I used to watch for a good while when I was a kid." You got the New York Giants reference from 2 weeks. Okay, WWE are burying women. The subject to this email, by the way, guys, is I can't watch this SH number one T Mimi, which I love that. WWE are burying women. My wife walks by every Tuesday when I watch the replay. She always has something to say, haha. This week she was getting a cup of tea and Drew was asking the prostitutes, her words, not mine, I love that, about the size of Bobby Lashley's balls. WTF. Then the MVP lounge and the girls all hanging off MVP and lying on Bobby. Two words, John Laurinaitis. I wonder what his daughter Maya thinks. Yeah, that's a good question. I decided, Mimi, from this Sunday to watch all AEW. WWE cannot measure up to AEW at the present. If I still feel this way at the end of the summer, I'll drop WWE and make a full switch. You're going to drop WWE soon. You can just tell Matt the highs and lows are for AEW only. PS below, no highs and lows. Okay, no. Okay, we talked about that. All right, perfect. So, yeah. And, I've been thinking about this for a while. I've been talking about this for a while. I don't feel like supporting a company anymore that treats women that they do, that treats human beings like they do anymore. I can't, like, you know, my fiance and I were talking about, you know, obviously things are coming back up, live shows and all that jazz again, and kind of, do we want to, like, look anywhere, go to any shows? We had a blast at Money in the Bank a couple years ago. And I told her, I said, I'm down to go to an AEW show. I actually might do that in September, possibly. But I'm down to go to an AEW show. But I have no interest in giving any more money than I already do to this company that is just filled with awful human beings and awful television content. It's not even good anymore. Like, there's no excuse to treat people that way. But, like, it's not even good anymore. Like you said, Aiden, I'm with you. I can't watch this stuff anymore either. And yeah, I'm getting to my end, I guess. Honestly, I'll tell you this, guys, if I did not do this show anymore, I wouldn't be watching most of WWE's content. I think I'd still tune in for NXT and SmackDown from time to time, but you can bet your, what's the expression? Bottom, thank you for being here. I promise she's real, guys. You can bet your bottom dollar I would not be watching Monday Night Raw anymore. Which stinks, because I really liked Drew McIntyre for a while. So thank you for your email, as always, DJ, and tell your wife I agree. and then DJ Kuzmo, I got an email here that says, oh my effing goodness, did you see Andrade just now on AEW? That completely took me by surprise. And yeah, I did, and I was shocked too. I was really happy that they didn't advertise it. I think that's such a lost art, and I get why, because people need ratings and all that other stuff, but I did, and I emailed you back too, DJ, and I said, I thought it was a little ho-hum. I thought it was a little bit weird, and they didn't really give him the pop he deserved, and everybody seemed really shocked. Like, the presentation of it wasn't great, in my opinion, but if you want to hear all my thoughts about that, you can head on over to the AEW Dynamite review that just got put up, I think, today. And yeah, and thank you guys, as always. If you ever want to shoot me an email with a question or your thoughts, you can always do that at mimi.realwwepodcast@gmail.com. I finally got that down now. And let's move on over to our high for the week, guys, because this one was easy for me. Before we get into that, like I said, I'll mention a couple other things. Like, as repetitive and stupid as it was, Drew McIntyre and Kofi Kingston really did put on a great match on Raw in the main event. NXT, to start with a fun triple threat, that was good for the most part, I thought. This Indy Hartwell and Dexter Lumis stuff, guys, I'm into it. This amazing main event was the NXT Tag Team Championship, MSK versus Legado del Fantasma? Just want to make sure I got that right. SmackDown, Roman Reigns continues to be the greatest thing on television right now. I love that Seth Rollins interview. I thought the promo that Bianca Belair cut before the Bayley hacking thing was probably her best. And guys, I'm going to move away from the microphone right now, because I'm going to hurt your ears. So, Rick Boogs. Oh my gosh, my favorite thing in pro wrestling right now, guys. I'm trying to keep myself a reminder of having I'm trying to remind myself of all the stuff that happened this week. And so I'm on Bleacher Report, and obviously they give the little grades. And you know what? They gave this a D, and I say, F off, Bleacher Report. I don't care about the match. I skip through the match. Rick Boogs gets an A-plus from me every week. And Pat McAfee is the greatest thing that has happened at WWE in, like, 15 years. That's all I'll say. Like I said, guys, we had Dynamite this week, which not a lot to talk about in super, you know, high regards. Besides the bunny, which I don't feel like I can say seriously every time I say that name. All right, but Double or Nothing was this Sunday, guys. And we're mostly probably going to be talking about that because that was pretty great. You know, I would say a good 75% of it was pretty awesome. So, first of all, the live crowd should get the hype for the week just by itself. I mean, they were awesome. They were awesome, especially in the beginning. So the pre-match on the buy-in, the Serena Deeb versus Riho, guys, if you want to see one of the greatest wrestlers in the world, men or women today, Serena Deeb, if you're not familiar with Serena Deeb and you don't watch NWA or AEW or anything, Serena Deeb was the bald girl with Luke Gallows in the Straight Edge Society with CM Punk. She was a coach and a trainer for WWE for a while. And she is probably in the top five best wrestlers in the world today, men and women. Talk about a ring general. So that's all I'll say. I can't do this match credit, but go watch the Riho versus Serena Deeb. She goes out there. She gets all these cheers and, like, on a dime, guys, flips it and wrestles like this amazing heel because, you know, Riho is like a bona fide baby face. So really awesome match to go check out. Again, screw you, Bleacher Report, giving this a B. All right, Hangman Page versus Brian Cage, guys. My official high for the week. I know I'm going to say it one more time and slowly because it confuses me too. Hangman Adam Page versus Brian Cage. I'm making fun of Vince McMahon. Anyways, this match was the kickoff match for the Double or Nothing pay-per-view, and it was my favorite match of the entire show. So it's that gets the high for the week because this is my show. I don't know, couldn't have gone more than like 12 minutes, but the spot to spot, like, how do I explain this? The way these guys got from spot to spot was really fluid and well done, in my opinion. The crowd added a whole, I think this match would have been, you know, good without the crowd, but added a whole new element to this. It was so good to hear that Hangman Page has been getting over as much of a baby face as we all think he is, because obviously, you know, I think it's pretty clear that most of AEW fans believe Hangman Page will be the one to take the title off of Kenny Omega. The finish was, yeah, a distraction finish, but it was done really well and in progression with the story of Team Taz. Again, if you're not familiar with AEW, you gotta go check that stuff out, man. I'm no longer accepting that on this podcast. Hangman Page is probably one of my favorite wrestlers right now, too. Brian Cage almost hit a buckshot lariat. If you know how big Brian Cage is, unbelievable stuff. And the hard-hittingness of this match, the stiffness, the struggle by Hangman Page, obviously a little color always helps. Just a textbook awesome babyface heel dynamic. And then Brian Cage, MVP of this match, because he goes in as the heel, really plays off the crowd super well. And towards the end of the match, you can see his babyface turn in the future with the distraction finish that they did. So this gets my high for the week, guys. If you didn't go watch this match, I'm like tired because this is the second podcast I'm recording today. I can't do this justice. You got to go watch it. I know, and I also feel like I just talked about the low for the week for most of the show, but you got to go check this out. And Taz on commentary, guys, he is as good as always, if not better, than he used to be with Michael Cole back in the day. So go check out this match, guys. Every time Hangman Page is in a match, you know it's going to be pretty good. And bonus, you get to see the piece, Ricky Starks, at the end of it. So go check it out. That's my high for the week. And without further ado, guys, your random match recommendation is none other than Evolution pay-per-view. I spoiled it already. The Evolution pay-per-view, like a 28-minute match. Becky Lynch versus Charlotte Flair. I forget what year it was. I want to say this was 2018. The best pay-per-view of the year, without a doubt. And this was on the rise of the whole man thing, post-SummerSlam. I don't need to tell you guys about how great Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch are. I think this was almost a 30-minute match, and it never felt like it. I'm going to watch it this week again. We're going to watch. Okay, I got a nodding head of approval. She's real. I got a nodding head of approval, so that's what we're going to watch today, too. We're fully vaxxed, guys. I hope you get your vaccines, too. All politics aside, I don't think it's politics to get a vaccination, though. Don't be stupid. Go get vaccinated if it's possible. And thank you, as always, for tuning into this show, this podcast. It's good to be back, guys, and I will talk to you next time.